This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We're talking about an-nifaq and the chapter of hypocrisy that's part of his book, Madarij Salikin. And I want to start with a point that some of the ulama talked about, which is, there is a hypocrisy after the Prophet ﷺ's time, or even specifically after the conquered of Mecca? Because there is some narrations from the Sahaba and from the early that there is no more hypocrisy exist after the time of the Prophet ﷺ. There is only clear kufr. And these narrations that came in regard to this, al-ulama rahimahullah said, it does not negate the concept of hypocrisy, because hypocrisy, as I said before, is two types. Hypocrisy has to do with the belief, the i'tiqad, aslul i'tiqad, the essence of belief, and that's someone who will basically say, I'm Muslim, because he only want to save himself, but inside he completely disbelieve in Islam. Even though there is nobody forced into Islam, but those people, they're plotting their kufr is something that they cannot hide. Their animosity is something they cannot hide, but also they cannot show. So what they choose to do, they choose to be hypocrites. They show that they are part of Islam, but inside their hearts, they are completely against it. And that's where hypocrisy was during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they said after Islam dominated, and those people who showed that they are Muslim, but from inside they showing their animosity and trying, they were hoping that they can end Islam in the beginning of its time. So by this, by showing up Islam and hiding the kufr, they will plot from within and they will stop Islam from progressing, or people will leave Islam. But after the conquered of Mecca, or after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, and how people became, or at the end of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, or some said after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Ummah became bigger and bigger and bigger. So those hypocrites have basically could not plot this way anymore. Makes no sense to them anymore. So that's why they only show their kufr. They don't need to hide their kufr anymore. That's the argument that some people said, but it's not true. Actually, people always and will always be those people who act as if they are Muslims, but they are not, for the purpose of harming Islam. So they never really accepted Islam. They show that they are Muslim, but inside, they cannot. And they cannot show their kufr because either they are afraid of the law of the country that they're living in. If the country, if this Muslim country will not allow them to declare their kufr openly, or they are sometimes afraid of the reaction of the masses, or the reaction of the public, or the shame that comes from family, and so forth. Which is, an-nifaq also take another popular name through history, which is az-zandaqa, zindiq. Az-zindiq is the one who developed a belief that contradicts the belief of Islam. Okay, and this person will not hide it, but he will try to justify it and to bring, to deceive people by some evidence, to mislead them or to misguide them and take them away from the true path of Islam or the true religion. An-nifaq definitely is not as popular as it used to be before, but it still exists. The hypocrisy, which is in action, is way more in the ummah as it used to be before. And also the hypocrisy in i'tiqad, which is related to az-zandaqa, it became way more numbers and exist. And for those who enter Islam, hiding their kufr for the purpose of destroying Islam from within, that's not a very large number. That's something maybe we can agree in, at least certain times, certain places. But the door is still open, and there is will be always hypocrites enter from that, يعني أعوذ بالله, gate to hellfire, which is to the bottom of hellfire. And the munafiqeen, hypocrites, are in the bottom of the hellfire, even worse than the kuffar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني protect us. Let's read, unless someone has a question about what I said. Otherwise, we can read, inshallah. Who is my Sara read last time? Anybody else want to read, or Sara, she want to continue reading?
I said in the chat I'd cover for today.
Bismillah. Whoever wants to read, as long as you are clear. Bismillah, read. Who's this? Bismillah. Sorry, I can't see that. Ibrahim?
No.
Okay, go ahead. قال المؤلف رحمه الله, the author رحمه الله said.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, should I start from the ayah or the characteristics of faith?
No, the ayah has to do with the previous point.
Okay. The characteristics of faith are not to be found in the hearts, and hence they do not know them. Oblivious are they to its pillars, and hence do not take care of them. Extinguished are the brilliant lights of its stars in the hearts, and they do not try to relight them. And the darkness of their thoughts and beliefs has eclipsed the sun of faith such that they no longer see it. They do not accept the guidance of Allah with which he sent his messengers.
It's amazing, isn't it? Someone who's that close to Islam, someone who knows the Quran, who hears the Quran, who knows the ilm, who knows the Sunnah, who knows the Seerah. They saw the prophets. They lived with the prophets of Allah. Yet, they're not Muslim. If that shows you anything, shows you that the issue of Iman, faith, has nothing to do with information. It's not about knowing. It's about willing. Really, it's about willing to submit. Knowledge comes next. But first, that will inside your heart to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now.
They attach no importance to it, and they see nothing wrong in leaving it for their own opinions and beliefs. They have wrenched the text of revelation of their true status. They have detached them of their importance and definitiveness, and they have submerged them in the obscurity of false interpretations. Subterfuge after subterfuge do they launch against these texts, and it is as if they face them in the same way.
Hold on. What he just said here, he's basically saying giving a hint in regard to the deviant sects in Islam, because all these deviant sects that appear in Islam have sign of hypocrisy. Among the things that these deviant sects have came up with, that they said, al-adillatu al-naqliyah la tufidu al-yaqeen. These said textual evidence do not establish certainty in the heart. You can't be certain just based on a hadith or based on a verse. That's why they said in the issue of proving aqidah, it has to be based on al-aql. It's not based on the al-naql, which is al-aql, the intellect, not based on revelation. I was watching a debate in England, where you guys are at now, between a famous Diobandi, not Diobandi, a famous Brelwi sheikh. I think he's from South Africa, but he, whatever reason, he was in England, or maybe he lives in England. So in the, he was debating a Christian theologian. So in the debate, they were trying to find reference. So the Muslim guy, the Brahmi guy, said, and he's also a Maturidi, a very, very aggressive Maturidi. And Maturidis, as a sect, they lean towards Al-Mu'tazila more than anything else in many chapter in Aqidah. So, and that's why the Hanafis has a lot of Mu'tazili fuqaha and Usuliyin, because of the influence of Mu'tazila on the Maturidi belief. In any case, going back to the debate, so in the debate, he told him, we cannot take revelation as a reference in issue of theology and proving God. And in the beginning, I thought that this mullah, whatever, or sheikh, he was saying this because he wanted to say, I cannot rely on the authenticity of the Bible as a reference for proving any text, because it's not something that I believe it's accurate. Okay, I thought that's where he's coming from, until he said to him, no, we cannot rely on Quran or any other things. He said, in our belief, our theology taken from intellect, because the theology has to be based on, you have to be have yaqeen, certain about, and that cannot be established by textual evidence. It has to be established first by logic. Then after that, you accept it. Then the Christian told him, as for our religion, we don't believe that. We're not gonna put that revelation in a secondary, you know, level. And it was amazing, you know, to see this happening in modern days, because that's exactly how all these Ahlul Kalam, the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiyyah, the Ash'ari, the Maturidis, that's exactly what they say in their books. So when Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, here giving that hint, he giving hint to those who, among these groups, because they are laysu sawa, they're not on the same level. There are many different barakat, many different levels. But among them who's explicitly have said that these textual evidence will not establish any type of yaqeen in the heart. And that's why when he said, "Azaluha an wilayat al-yaqeen," basically they these text evidence, they said it will not be basically they said it's it will not establish that it is the true in the hearts and the true states. They attach them from the importance and definitiveness. That's the yaqeen. Then they, what they did also to this textual evidence, they rejected it. They rejected it by what? By all these false interpretations. And one of the sign of hypocrites that they reject the sunnah. They reject, you remember when the man said, Ya Muhammad, this is not fair. That's not how you divide the war booties. And he said, that's not fair. Do you remember what the Sahaba said? Well, Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, let me kill him. He's a hypocrite. Because hypocrisy is about rejecting the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, those people have a sign of hypocrisy by rejecting the ahadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what? By obscurity of false interpretations. So you see that Ibn al-Qayyim in his talk, he gives these hints for those who pay attention to what he means, rahimahullah ta'ala. Also, there is an important thing here. This section filled with a lot of metaphor and figurative speech. So you have to be able to make that connection. So if you don't understand his metaphor, because every metaphor here is so so deep, filled with so many information and meaning. So if anything that you didn't get the point of that metaphor, let me know, okay? So now he's gonna say, they are like what? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Subterfuge after subterfuge do they launch against these texts. And it is as if they face them in the same way an unwitting host meets malevolent guests, devoid of acceptance and generosity, all the while forcing himself to host them, yet keeping his distance. They say to these texts, you have no way to pass us by. And if they find no option but to accept them, they do so by propounding multifarious plots and concocting various principles. When these texts find way past their doors, they say...
Hold on. So, did you see how they... he said it's like the guest when he comes to people who are li'am, stingy and not bad. So stingy and plotter type of guests, hosts, when there's a guest comes to them, they don't close the door in their face. They don't kick it out. If they can, they would. And that's why those people, if they can reject any hadith, they will do. Like the same thing of a stingy miser person will do with his guest. But sometimes he can't get out of it. The evidence is so clear. It's Quran. It's in the mutawatir hadith. So what they do with it? The same thing that this person will do to his guest. He will try his best to get out of it. I'm busy. There's no food. There's nobody to cook. Oh, I'm sorry. Some maybe a little bit of leftover, you know? And that will treat their guest this way. Versus the generous people that welcome them and they open their home and their kitchen for them. And that's how the person should be. It's a metaphor. That's how you should be with the hadith and the nusus. You open your arm for it, your heart for it. You embrace it fully as you embrace your guest. You get the point that you're trying to say? Go ahead.
When these texts find their way past their doors, they say, what have we to do with their literal meanings? They give us no certainty whatsoever. And the general masses amongst them say, sufficient for us is what we find the latter people upon, for they were more knowledgeable than the righteous predecessors, and firmer and more rightly guided in knowing the proofs and evidences. In their view, the way of the Salaf is the way of simplicity and soundness of heart, because they did not busy themselves with investigating and laying out the principles of rhetoric. Instead, they merely devoted themselves to doing the obligatory and leaving the prohibited. Therefore, the way of the latter people is more deeply rooted in knowledge and wiser, whereas the way of the Salaf is greater in ignorance but safer.
And that's another problem that is common. Hypocrites, they always made fun of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They said, these reciter of the Quran only want to fill their stomach, did this, did that, they're stupid, they don't know, they are fool. All these talk about the Sahaba, this is so common theme, this, right? When you read the history of the hypocrites in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they this, they are that, they always curse the Sahaba. And he said, that's the same thing. Some of the hypocrites of our days, also they share with them the same sign, the same characteristic, which is criticizing the Sahaba, making fun of the Sahaba, undermine the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, which is the setup, the early generation. And one of the things that you found among Ahlul Kalam, the Ash'ari, the Mu'taziri, the Jahmiyyah, the Maturidi, all these Ahlul Kalam in general, you know, those who took philosophy as a way, wrong philosophy, not the right one, or Greek philosophy as a way of understanding religion and stuff like that. Basically, one of the things that they said, They said, no, we love the early generations. We love the Salaf. And we believe that the Salaf way of dealing with the Quran and Sunnah and Allah's names and attributes, specifically in this area, are the safest one. Then here they made a worse mistake, which is they did not understand what the early generations belief and madhab was. They thought that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they heard that Allah created Adam with his hand, in their mind, that the Sahabas understood from this that he created Adam with his hand. With his hand. Does that mean he has hand? No. He has no hand? No. So he has hand? No. He doesn't have hand? No. So what hands means? No. What do you mean by no? We don't know what hands means. Is it, because when you hear hand, don't you think of something that handle things? You handle things with? Yes, but that's not what this means here. Okay, when Allah says that he laughed, when the Prophet said that Allah laughed at two people, or laughed at his servants, or he laughed when he see his servants so desperate, did the Sahaba understand that he laughed? No. So they said, no, he doesn't laugh. No. They didn't negate, they didn't affirm. Okay, but the apparent meaning is the laugh that the basically, we understand laugh. When you say laughing, you don't understand from this word beef. You don't understand car wash. There is the word has a meaning, register meaning in your head. He said, yeah, that register meaning in your head is not meant. So what it means, we don't know. What do you mean we don't know? It's for them hearing the word laughing did not make any sense to them. It didn't make any meaning to them. And they just accepted this way. So when the Prophet told them and Allah told them in the Quran that he's above the world. No. He's not above the world. So what did the Sahaba do? These, you know, we don't know. They just kept it this way. So that's what they thought, that this is the safest way. Why safest? Why safest? Because the other choice is to say, already established logically, that Allah cannot be above the world, cannot laugh, cannot have a hand, for reasons that they have. So for them, they said, no, hand means power. No, it means generosity. No, it means ability. No, so these multiple choices, multiple interpretations. Which one Allah meant? They said, you have to have, it's a risky business to say, or a risky for you to say, Allah meant this specific interpretation. Because now you're speaking on behalf of Allah, and you don't have any proof that Allah meant this particular interpretation. So that's why the Salaf were safer, since they did not define which one is the meaning. You got how they understand the Salaf position? As to safer versus, this is safer. But the later generation have more knowledge, because they didn't say we don't know what it means. They said it can mean this. That can mean that, and they brought so many interpretation because their deep understanding and knowledge of the literatures and the Arabic language and the usul, blah blah blah. So they said the madhab, the way of the later generations, a'lamu ahkam, more knowledge, and it makes more sense, much wiser. Versus the early one, it's only safer. That means you guys making the later generations better than the first one. And how can always safety comes with knowledge and wisdom? So if the later one are more knowledgeable and more wiser, they should be in the most safer. Ignorance does not bring you to safety. So this maqala, this idea, which is so common, is one of the big issues that Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah dedicated big portion of their lives and their writing to reject, because it became very popular. And it became a very popular idea with the rise of a madhab, which is known as a tafwil. So between the lines, he rahimahullah send these messages, and his point is to give you an antidote, is to build a resilience inside you towards these kind of ideologies and idea. And no doubt a Salaf is more knowledgeable, more wise, and more safe. And a Salaf, when they heard what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about himself, that he's above the world, above, in the heavens, it means he's above the heavens. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to him. And when the Sahaba heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laugh, the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, we would never ever should fear a God that who laugh. We should not ever fear that he'll not be nice to us and loving to us. A God who laughs, that means he's a very loving one. So he understood meaning. That's why he reacted this way. لَن نُعْدَم مِن خَيْرًا مِن رَبٍ يَضْحَك. And so on. So this understanding of what the Salaf said is wrong. Not only that, but also their understanding of the whole concept is wrong. And their basically undermining of the Salaf rahimahullah is another wrong added to the mix. And all of it, if you notice, linked to some of the signs of hypocrisy, that if they avoid it, they will not fall into that. Now, go ahead, read.
They treat the text of the book and sunnah like the Khalifa is treated in these times. While his name is written on coins and gains superficial mention in the Friday sermons, he has no real authority, and it is other men who govern. His judgment is neither heard nor adhered to. They have donned the robes of the people of faith, which cover their hearts.
Hold on. To understand this also, this metaphor, because in his time, in the Abbasi times, a lot of people controlled the state. So they kept the Khalifa, because the Khalifa has to be from Quraysh, Qurashi, from Quraysh. So nobody else can dare to say, I'm the Khalifa, like, مثلا, Ayyubis or Zinkis or all these states that came, okay, in the time of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, and before and after, all these states, their emir, they act like Khalifa, but none of them will dare to say Khalifa. Also in Baghdad in itself, where the Khalifa is, the minister run the show. Tayyip, in Egypt, the real ruler is the Ayyubis, or in Syria, you know, the Zinkis. They run the show 100%. Tayyip, what's the Khalifa is? The Khalifa only in the Khutbat al-Jumu'ah, they make dua for him. But he doesn't run the country, he has nothing to do with it. It's like your king, you know? But at least your king by choice. But the Khalifa in that time is not by choice. It's just by, you know, and in your country you have the king, he doesn't have anything to do with politics, but he has something called prime minister, blah, blah. But no, in Muslim land, it was an entity called Ayyubi state, an entity called the Zinki state, an entity called, you know, the Ubaidi states, Fatimi and Muhyiddin states in Morocco and in India, the Mughal and you name it, in every part. But all of them still in the Khutbah al-Jum'ah said, oh Allah, bless the Khalifa of the Muslims. What kind of Khalifa is that? Has no power, has nothing to do.
just a name. It's just a name. You know, he basically, his name on the currency, on the dinar, and his name mentioned Khutbat al-Jumu'ah. But that's it. And they said, this is how the Quran and Sunnah. Okay, yeah, like that's what I said, like a British monarch, because I was but there's a difference, because in England it's by choice. This guy's not by his choice. He said the same thing in the Quran and the Sunnah. It's just for the barakah, for reading it. Read Sahih al-Bukhari, read the Quran. But is the Quran and the Sunnah are the real one who they follow and they accept and they follow the dalil? The answer is, unfortunately, no. That's the metaphor. Now,
they have donned the robes of the people of faith, which cover their hearts of misguidance, deception, and disbelief. Their tongues are the tongues of Muslims, but their hearts are the hearts of those fighting them. They say, "Amanna billahi." Sorry.
A'udhu billah. They said, basically, they said their heart, their tongue is the tongue of the Muslims, but the heart is the heart of the enemy of the Muslims. And we see this in society a lot today. People who say, salam alaikum, mashallah, but their heart is so much hatred toward the Sunnah. Hatred toward, somebody was saying, I hated it when I see muhajjabas, when I see a woman wearing niqab, when I see a woman wearing hijab. Hated when I see these bearded, you know, with short thobes and stuff like that. I just hated it. I can't stand it. That's just sure hypocrisy. Yeah, you don't need to recite. I don't know why you and Sarah, I don't want to start this. You just read it. Amanna billahi wa bil-akhir.
Okay, they say. Unless you
want.
They say, Amanna billahi wa bil-yawmil akhiri wa ma hum bi mu'mineen. We have faith in Allah on the last day, but they are not believers. The capital is deception and scheming, and their merchandise is lies and treachery, and their intellect is one that is employed just for this world. Believers and disbelievers alike are happy with them, and they live in security amongst them.
Ya Salam. Ya Salam. See what he's saying. He said, yani, I like that. And their intellect is one that employed. What that means to you guys? Their intellect is one that is employed. Does that make any sense to you? Because I'm not sure of the right translation. When you hear this, what do you understand from it? And their intellect, no, I cannot read. I don't have my glasses in. If somebody want to talk, it's hard for me to read.
So, Ali here.
So, yeah, go ahead.
He is saying that our mind, we are giving it more credibility.
No, it's not. First of all, it's not ours, it's there.
Uh-huh. Oh, I mean, yes, yeah, sorry, I meant sorry, people. Sorry, yeah, okay. So we get the people are giving the intellect reasons for it to be better than something else because you're paying them, you've employed it for your own benefit. From that sense, you employed part of your disposition for your own okay. world benefit.
I got what you're saying. Anybody understood something else?
Does it mean
definitely? That's not what he meant by saying that. But I want to know what this means to you because translation is interesting.
Does it mean the intellect operates on like meanings that are convenient for them? Is that what it means?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm just asking you. I know what the Arabic means. but I just want to make sure that this English sentence, what it means to you as an English speaking.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Zafru here. I get the understanding. So they don't use their intellect to reflect on the hereafter. So it says employed just for this world. That's the understanding I got, just for this world. They don't reflect on the on the hereafter. Things beyond this world.
What else? Anybody else understood something else?
When you're employed, you're not free. And when you're not free, then you're always under the subservience. You're a slave to the whims of others.
Okay. So my suspicion of the word of the sentence is correct, because none of what you guys said, what Ibn al-Qayyim meant. Because how would, also look, any meaning that you guys came up with, you have to put it in the context. And I like one of the brothers said, in this world, so he put it in that context. But look at the whole sentence. Lies and treachery is their basically the one before that. Their capital, deceptions and scheming. Their merchandise is lies and treachery. And their intellect is one that is employed just for this world. Believers and disbelievers. The word he used in Arabic is al-aql al-ma'ishi. Al-aql al-ma'ishi. Al-aql al-ma'ishi is not intellect. Even the word intellect is not the right wording. Al-aql al-ma'ishi means, okay, I'll give you an example and you can come up with the term for it, if there is any. Al-aql al-ma'ishi, I see which one is the wind going and I go with. Which way the wind is going, the crowd is going, and I go with them. So, you know what? If now everybody excited about social work, blah, 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 I go to social work. Now the time everybody excited about, I don't want the people who like ilm and knowledge, I'm ilm and knowledge. Oh, everybody is, mashallah, follow madhab. I'm Hanafi. I never been something else other than that. You know, now mashallah, Salafi are the famous and I always my life Salafi. You know, now everybody is Sufi, the cool thing to be a Sufi. Subhanallah, I'm always Sufi. Yeah, basically, whatever gonna make me famous, whatever gonna make me money, whatever gonna make me accepted, whatever gonna make me rise, whatever get me more fan, more followers, that's basically whatever the trend is, you know, I go with. Not for the sake of anything else, but to personally benefit from it. That's al-aql al-ma'ish. He ride any wave, any trend that exists, just because he wants to benefit himself. That's al-aql al-ma'ish. He thinks about how I benefit myself. Regardless, correct, wrong, right, not right, it doesn't matter. That's why they try always to please the believers because they benefit from it. And they please the disbelievers because they benefit from them. You see? So that's the aql, the ma'ishi. That's the hypocrite. That's how they think. And unfortunately, that exists sometimes in our community. You see some people, some du'at, some activists, some groups, some organizations, they will look at what is popular for the sake of being popular, even if it is fundamentally against what they believe in, and they will go with it. I know people, they intentionally do controversy, not sell out, not necessarily. They will do controversial things just for the sake of publicity. It doesn't matter. People misguided, not misguided, doesn't matter. Also, they might be sell out, okay? They might sell out themselves to the best better, to the more beneficial. if it's now a cool thing to talk about anti-extremism and to do some prevention work, you guys have this word popular in England, okay? It is something cool and get me, you know, validated and stuff like that. Yes, I'm for it. But when it comes to another time where, you know what, prevention work and stuff like that and work against extremism is not a cool thing. It is actually something considered sellout and bad and, you know, and it's not popular. I just don't do it. It's not real. There's no sincerity behind it. It's all about the dunya. It's all about what bring me benefits. It's not about the akhirah, as one of the brother kind of mentioned here. So employed, he tried to do a literal translation, and that's the poorest way of translating any book. That's why I hate teaching English, because when I translated a book in English, why? Because people don't know how to translate. We translate in a very poor way. I like books written in English initially, not to translate. So my advice to you guys, if you ever want to do work like this, you always say based on what Ibn Qayyim said. You just write what you wrote in your own way, if you're always thinking, because every language has its own way of saying things. Anyway, go ahead. Read. But this is an important character trait that you should be very careful of.
They think to deceive Allah and those who believe, but they deceive none save themselves, but they are not aware of it. The disease of desires and doubts has consumed their hearts and destroyed them, and evil objects have permeated their motivations and intentions and corrupted them. Their corruption their corruption is so severe that they are flung to perdition, and the doctors of the religion are unable to cure them. في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون.
Now, this is an important. The more we allowed hypocrisy in our life, the faster our hearts die. The more you lie, the more you show off, you're more insincere. The more you miss salat, the more you miss adhkar, the more you have two faces and act this way, the more all these hypocrisies, you know, the more doubts, the more ta'wil, false interpretations to the Quran and Sunnah, the more accepted to this, you know, the more you try to please people in the expense of what's the truth is, the more you do stuff like this, the more your heart dies. Somebody who works in the area of politics and stuff like that, and there's a lot of hypocrisy in politics, unfortunately. Very few people have principles and they come into it. And so I asked one of the brothers who work in this area a lot, like, you're always surrounded with people, like, and anyway, I asked him, how do you find your heart? He looked at me and with tears, I was surprised by the tears. And he said, Sheikh Waleed, he was in DC, in Washington. And with tears coming down, he said, thank you, Sheikh, for this question. Nobody have asked me this question before you. I'm struggling. My heart is very weak. My iman is very weak. even though I am here doing what I'm doing for the sake of Allah, for the sake of community, and I say this is, but I'll tell you the truth, Sheikh. It's hard. And I tell him why. Because he allowed this kind of act of, and I didn't use the word hypocrisy, but this act of, you know, two-faces and saying things he didn't mean it and lying and promoting false narratives and not being principled persons and many positions that you take. And it's all politics. It make your heart die quickly. So be careful. Listening to music, the Mas'ud said, make that hypocrisy rise and grow in the heart the same way plant grows when you water them. يُنْبِتُ النِّفَاقِ فِي الْقَلْبِ. And what happened? Ibn Mas'ud said, Quran and the love for music fight one another inside your heart. One of them will kick the other one out. So be careful. The hypocrisy and the sign of hypocrisy kills iman. It's like termite. Kills it, eat it up. And the problem is it grows very fast. فَزَادَهُمْ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah increased their sickness. As a result of what? فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا. As a result of the hypocrisy that's in their heart. Not kida, initially Allah zadahum increased their sickness. Allah did not do that. Allah has increased their sickness. No, He did this after what? There is sickness in their heart first. Go ahead, continue.
There is a sickness in their hearts and Allah has increased their sickness. They will have a painful punishment on account of their lies. Whoever falls prey to the claws of their doubts will have his faith shredded to pieces. Whoever allows his heart to open to their vow.
See the metaphor. It's so powerful. Whoever falls prey to the claws of their doubts. He make the doubts like a beast has a claws that's attacking you and grabbing your iman. Very powerful. Mm-hmm.
Whoever allows his heart to open to their vile tribulations will find himself in a burning furnace. And whoever lends an ear to the deceptions, to their deceptions, will find them coming between him and firm belief. Indeed, the corruption they cause on earth is great, but most people are unaware.
It's great because, not necessarily the numbers, but great because of the impact. Losing one believer, losing one faith, corrupting one heart is a great thing. Now,
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. When they are told, do not cause corruption on the earth, they say, we are only putting things right. No, indeed, they are the corruptors, but they are not aware of it. When one of them follows the book and sunnah, he is doing so to keep up appearances. He is like a donkey carrying books. He understands none of what he is carrying. The revelation in their eyes.
No, hold on. Slow. When one of them follows the book and sunnah, that's the wrong translation. That's not what he said. What he said is, "Al-mutamassik." That's very poor. I don't know who in the world translated this book. Doesn't even understand Arabic. When one of them follows the book and sunnah, قال المتمسك عندهم بالكتاب والسنة صاحب ظواهر. He said the one who holds into the book and sunnah in their view is blah blah blah. You see the difference?
So can you repeat? Can you repeat, Sheikh? Not clear.
What I'm saying is that the Arabic text says the one who follows the book and sunnah in their views is doing so to keep up appearance. I don't know, to keep up. Is the even this one is bad. He said the one who follow the kitab and the sunnah, okay, in their views, yani the hypocrite's views, okay, is someone who is keeping up with just the apparent meanings. He's like donkey carrying books. You see the difference between what I'm saying, what is written? Hello?
Yeah, I do. I saw a massive difference. It's completely the almost a different. It's almost the opposite in many respects. Very different.
Opposite, exactly. It's the other. It's the opposite. Here he's saying when one of them follows the book. No, the Qayyim didn't say that. He said the one who followed the Quran, the book, and Sunnah, in their view, is keeping up appearance, is like the donkeys. Blah blah blah. Because that makes no sense. The one for one of them follow the Quran with Sunnah is like a donkey carrying a book. For them, the one, that's why the Arabic text, المتمسك عندهم بالكتاب والسنة صاحب ظواهر مبخوص حظه من المعقول والدائر مع النصوص عندهم كحمار يحمل أسفارا. He said, the one who followed the Quran and Sunnah, for them, in their views, is like somebody who just, you know, keeping up with the appearance meaning, or someone who only simple-minded, also I can't translate that, has no intellect. He doesn't look for the deeper meaning. He only keep up with the apparent meanings, but he doesn't look deep into the text. And the follower of the Quran and the textual evidence, for them, is like the one who carry the donkey who carry books. Mm-hmm. So that's what Ibn al-Qayyim said in the Arabic text. So it's the wrong translation. Go ahead, read.
The revelation in their eyes is profitless merchandise, and as such worthless. Those who truly follow it are fools in their eyes.
Yeah, because it carry no deeper meaning. It doesn't establish yaqeen in the heart. This textual evidence, when it comes to proving Allah, to proving prophethood, to proving these big things, this textual evidence is not a big deal. Mm-hmm.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
The med, and there is ayat, when you read a book, just two haraka, خلاص. كما آمن السفهاء وألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون. You don't need to do, it's not a tajweed class. So you just do two harakah and that's it. Now.
When they are told, believe like the people have believed, they say, what are we to believe like these fools have believed? No, indeed, they are fools, but they do not know it. Each of them has two faces, a face with which he meets the Muslims and a face with which he meets his deviated associates. Each one of them has two tongues, a false tongue with which he meets the Muslims and a true tongue with which he expresses his actual beliefs.
Well, today's subhanAllah, so hold on, today's subhanAllah, social media have exposed the other tongue. And I tell you an example. Sometimes I found people comment on my Facebook or my Twitter account or something I post, okay? Oh, mashallah, this sister or this brother. How come, brother, you say this, you do this, don't you see this? How come this ad has this and that? And yeah, any picking on certain things and things of dispute between the scholars sometimes. Allahu Akbar, where's the iman? Where's... And it's like, okay. So what I do, I go to this person's Facebook. He's made a comment. Or to his account, Twitter account. And astaghfirullah, what you see commenting on me or someone in my, yani, I made a comment. Like, if this is like this big of a problem, you go look at their profile and you see the balaw, you see the huge, yani, problems. And it's okay. And in their own conversation, is so far away from the religion. That's a sign of hypocrisy. One of my favorite quotes, one of the Salaf said, don't be a shaitan's enemy in public and be his best friend in secret. Two faces, two lives. Some people have three, not two. Some people have four, multiple. But it's not a disorder. He intentionally have all these personalities and it's a hypocrisy.
وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. When they meet those who have believed, they say, "We have believed." But when they go apart with their devils, they say, "We are really with you. We were only mocking."
So don't ever say things. Don't ever have these two tongues. Oh, because I'm invited to this place. You know, sometimes you cannot say the truth. That's fine. You don't have to say the truth all the time. But you cannot say the falsehood. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, say what is right and good or remain silent. You don't have the option to say what's wrong, what's falsehood. I've been invited to so many places. Not everything I know I say. It's not even the right thing. It's not the sunnah. And Bukhari has a chapter. Not everything you know you say everywhere and to everybody. It depends on the place. I'm not a hypocrite. Because I'm hypocrites if I start saying the falsehood. Because you have some people who have certain level of idiocy, and they think that you have to say everything everywhere. Oh, you were in this place and you did not talk about this group, talk about these issues. I don't have to. You can't hold me accountable for that. But I'll be held accountable if I say what's false. Because sometimes you don't say things for a greater maslaha. You don't say the falsehood to mislead people. Yeah.
They have turned away from me. Making mockery of those who followed them and looking down on them. They refused to submit to the revelation,
We'll stop here because it's 4:10 or 9:10 for you guys. I don't want you to be upset with me. Inshallah ta'ala. I'll open the floor for questions, comments. Bismillah.
Sheikh, who was the quote from that you just mentioned? Don't be Shaitan's enemy in public and his friend in private.
I don't remember. Okay. Anybody has a comment? Anybody has? Some of you guys have a lot of good perspectives to share. Okay. Or questions. Don't hold it. جزاكم الله خيرا.